listening to Tears of Aqsa with Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Wednesdays 9 to 10 a.m. Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Baum. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Online we have Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, after the heat, you know, we have some nice chilly weather also.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, we were discussing the topic of the Tears of Al-Aqsa, and in our last discussion, after the recap of Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, we started with the story of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We did the story of how Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, her pious parents, how they made a promise, and when the child was born, then it was a female child, and how this child, it was Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam, how she was then put into Masjid Al-Aqsa under the Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was looking after her. We also did in detail about the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and how Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. We also did some miracles that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came with, how he spoke in his infancy, also how he could tell what a person had stored in his home. He could also bring, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring people that had passed away back to life. We also then, thereafter, we know that every Nabi that came onto this earth, that their mission was one, and that is the mission of Islam, to bring people towards La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And we also discussed how Bani Israel, how they plotted, the Jews began to plot against Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, how one of the disciples had betrayed Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and there towards the end we discussed how Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we start with after the ascension of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, or the ascension of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam into the heavens, what were the conditions of in Palestine, more so the rule of the Christians in Jewish relationship? Also, we're going to discuss about the era of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the city of Jerusalem. And since Al-Aqsa had played and plays such a significant role in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension to the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many hadith recorded by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating to Al-Aqsa. Inshallah, we'll go through some of these hadith also.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We take this opportunity of greeting all our viewers and listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After the ascension of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, which we had discussed in our previous discussion, his teachings, alhamdulillah, continued to spread among the poor in Palestine, in Al-Aqsa. Christianity had become an established as a religion for the followers of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. The Romans began viewing Christianity as a threat, and subsequently it was banned as a religion of practice in Al-Aqsa. The followers of Christianity were persecuted throughout the Roman Empire, and their numbers began to dwindle as a result of the persecution of the Christians in Al-Aqsa and in the Roman Empire. But in a turn of fortune, around 320 CE, the Roman Emperor Constantine embraced Christianity. And this single event not only saved Christianity, but also helped spread it far and wide, as it became the official religion of the Roman Empire, bearing in mind that Jerusalem was now under the Roman Empire. After nearly 600 years of Roman rule or Christian rule over Jerusalem, the Persians occupied the city in 614, however, for a short period. The Roman historians record this occupation. And this year, the Persians took part of Sham, which included Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon today, and its holy city in battle. So the Persians, after a lengthy battle and a severe and a fierce battle, took over control of Palestine. And at the hands of the Jews, they killed many people in Jerusalem. Again, keep in mind, the Persians, together with the Jews, the Bani Israel, killed many of the Christians in Masjid al-Aqsa and the precincts of Jerusalem. The numbers go into hundreds of thousands. The Jews, according to their means, bought the Christians and then killed them as well. The Persians captured many of the Christians and fled with them to Persia. And together with that, including Zakaria, the patriarch of Jerusalem, the ruler or the leader of Jerusalem, was also taken away with them. A patriarch is obviously a fatherly figure, a leader, an elder who used to guide the Christians. And the Jews, together with the Persians, even took the patriarch Zakaria with them to Persia. As a gesture of goodwill and a token of appreciating and appreciation of assisting the Persians gain control over Jerusalem, the Jews and the Bani Israel were given administrative power in Jerusalem, which included obviously the Masjid al-Aqsa and the holy sanctuary of al-Aqsa al-Sharif. This time, the Jews are alleged to have avenged the mistreatment by banishing all the Christians out of the city of Jerusalem. So now you find that after the Christian rule of Jerusalem, together with the assistance of the Persians, they killed many of the Christians, and the Jews were given control over Jerusalem, and they executed many of the Christians and also expelled many of the inhabitants of Jerusalem that were part of the Christian community. Again, we see history repeating itself, that the atrocities perpetrated by the Bani Israel or the Jewish community. And whatever was not destroyed during the invasion of Jerusalem by the Persians, the Jews made sure that they razed all the buildings to the ground. Many of the masajid that were built, the places of prayer that were built by Suleiman alayhi salatu was salam, Dawood alayhi salatu was salam, and the subsequent Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, were broken and destroyed, including the mihrab of Maryam alayhi salam, and the place where Zakaria alayhi salatu was salam and Yahya alayhi salatu was salam used as the places of ibadah and worship. However, the Jewish administration did not last for long, as the Persians quickly became aware and concerned at the excessive oppression of the Christians by the Jewish community. And the Persians decided to hand the city back to the Christians. And under the leadership of Modestus, most of the churches and holy sites began to be renovated. Modestus was the patriarch of Jerusalem, who is commemorated as a saint by the Catholic Church. However, within 8 years, in 622, Heraclius defeated the Persians and reoccupied Jerusalem. Yet again, the Jews were banished from the holy city by Heraclius. He expelled them, ordering that they should not be allowed to come within 3 miles of the holy city of Jerusalem. And according to historians, the adversity of the exile from Jerusalem for the Jews was minimal compared to the edict that followed, instructing the provinces throughout the empire to persecute them. Something like a general massacre of the Jews followed. Now again we notice this was the decree and the lot of Al-Aqsa al-Sharif and Jerusalem, that what we are seeing today from time memorial, from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, throughout the history of the various Anbiya that lived there, and even after the ascension of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, the lot of Jerusalem was such that there were always changes. Allah Ta'ala refers to the tilkal ayyamu nudawiluha baynan nas. And this was the process and the history of Al-Aqsa al-Sharif for many years, until the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the city of Jerusalem witnessed all of this. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, what was the condition of Jerusalem? When he was born, subhanallah, there was a light that came from Mother Amina's womb or mother that showed the areas of Basra and Sham. Basra is the modern day Darra, one of the most persecuted groups or cities of Syria. So the light highlights the palaces in Sham where the Romans resided. So Allah Ta'ala, through the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by this beautiful miracle, showed before Rasulullah was born that these lands will eventually become under Muslim rule by the prophethood and the nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is recorded in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a light while he was sleeping from Amud al-Kitab, the pillar of the Kitab, which means the Quran al-Kareem, from under his pillow, and this light traveled, and his eyesight followed the light until it reached Sham, and it was placed in the middle of Sham. Many people talk about this light being placed at Masjid al-Aqsa. Again, we see the connection between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Jerusalem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, when there is fitan and when there is fitna in the world, you will find iman and people who hold strong onto the faith in Sham. Again, referring to the nobility and the sanctity of Masjid al-Aqsa. And among the most significant incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, is the incident of Mi'raj. So now we are observing that prior to his birth, there was a light that emitted from the womb or the stomach of Amina, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that went right up till Sham. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself sees this light emitting from the Quran towards the midst of Sham, which is establishing the connection between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Masjid al-Aqsa. And again, we are establishing the strong spiritual link between us, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Masjid al-Aqsa. Subsequent to that, in his life, through the most memorable reason, Allah Ta'ala brought about a significant incident, and that is the incident of Mi'raj. In his lifetime, though the most memorable reason why Masjid al-Aqsa enjoys such significance is because it was the place, it was the location from which, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his ascension, made his mi'raj towards the heaven. As we have mentioned previously, Jerusalem is also known as Babul Jannah, Babul Samawat, the gateway to the heavens. It was from here that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam ascended. It is from here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended to the heavens. In the books of hadith, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to visit the Kaaba at night. And with the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, he fell asleep. Some say he fell asleep in the area of the Hatim. And the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with a white animal known as the Buraq. It was on the Buraq that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made this journey to Jerusalem. Insha'Allah, we will talk in detail about that from the ahadith that narrates about this incident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sleeping in the Hatim, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam paused inside his heart al-imanul hikmah. Rasulullah heart was open, his chest was open, and his heart was washed here on this occasion prior to his ascension, prior to his travel from Makkah to al-Mukarramah to Jerusalem. And in his heart there was poured in it iman and hikmah, faith and wisdom, reassuring the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he is about to take him on this amazing journey, not only a spiritual one, but subhanallah, also a physical journey, where Allah Ta'ala took his beloved messenger in one night from Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah Ta'ala blessed the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa and showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the signs of Allah Ta'ala, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Barakna hawlahu, we blessed everything around it, everything around Masjid al-Aqsa, as mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, re-establishing and reinforcing the holiness and the nobleness of the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa in his commentary of Barakna hawlahu, that Allah Ta'ala blessed the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa, says that every inch in the entire city of Jerusalem had once an angel who stood there, or a prophet had prayed there, or a prophet is buried there. There is not an inch in the city of Jerusalem that an angel did not stand. There is not an inch in the city of Jerusalem that a Nabi did not pray. There is not an inch in the city of Jerusalem that either an angel prayed or a Nabi prayed or a Nabi is buried. Subhanallah, the spirituality and the nobility of the precincts of Al-Aqsa al-Sharif. Allah Ta'ala could have taken Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam straight to the heavens from Makkah al-Mukarramah. Why would he take him to Al-Aqsa? Why did Allah Ta'ala make Rasulullah's journey to Al-Aqsa first, if there was not anything special about this place? And therefore many ulama mentioned that the conditions of the world is dependent on the conditions of Al-Aqsa al-Sharif. It was required that Rasulullah visits Al-Aqsa before establishing his governance in Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah, the visit of Rasulullah to Al-Aqsa al-Sharif opened the pathway to the establishing of Madinatul Munawwara as the seat of Islamic governance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to Masjid al-Aqsa. He prays two rakats by himself. And after praying these two rakats in Masjid al-Aqsa, when he raises his head, subhanallah, what he sees? He sees all the anbiya, all the rusul, all the prophets, subhanallah, standing there waiting for him to lead them in prayer. Imagine, reflect on this beautiful scene, Masjid al-Aqsa. Rasulullah is brought through by the Buraq. He enters the masjid. He performs two rakats of salah. after performing the Salah, physically in Masjid al-Aqsa, Rasulullah raises his head and he sees the galaxy of the pious, the galaxy of the Anbiya standing there for him. On reaching Jerusalem, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met and led all the previous Anbiya in prayer at the site of Masjid al-Aqsa, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was overcome with modesty and he was overcome with shyness by this honor that was granted to him. Where? Again, in Masjid al-Aqsa. The journey of Isra was such a momentous occasion that Allah Ta'ala revealed verses relating to this journey in the Holy Quran. As Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Glorious is He, Allah Ta'ala, who made His servant, His Abd, travel by night from Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, whose environment Allah says we have blessed, so that we let him see some of our signs. Among the signs was the nobility and the nobleness of Masjid al-Aqsa and the presence of the Anbiya. Allah says, Innahu huwa sami'ul basir. Indeed, Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was miraculously taken from the sacred masjid, referred to the ancient house, Al-Bayt al-Atiq, which refers to Mecca. If you look at the Quran al-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala refers to Mecca al-Mukarrama as Bayt al-Atiq, and Masjid al-Aqsa by name as Bayt al-Maqdis in Al-Quds. Then thereafter, Allah Ta'ala took Rasulullah to the heavens on Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the night journey of ascension. This took place approximately 1 year before Rasulullah's migration to Medina. And the dominant opinion of the ulama is that this was on the 27th of Rajab, according to Imam Nawawi. And this is famously recounted in the ayah that we have just recited, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdih. Again, about a year prior to establishing, prior to migration, prior to establishing the Islamic Khilafah in Madinatul Munawwara, which saw the change that came into the world, there was a need for Rasulullah to visit Al-Aqsa, to lead the prayer for the Anbiya. Again, the noble condition and the spirituality of Al-Aqsa on that night eventually resulted in the establishment of the Khilafah of Madinatul Munawwara. And it will be again in the area of Al-Aqsa where Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will descend, which will result in the overpowering of Muslims over the fitna of Dajjal. Observe the link between these two. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once while delivering a sermon from the pulpit, he says he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that a group of people of my ummah will continue to obey Allah's command, and those who desert or oppose them shall not be able to do them any harm. They will be dominating the people until Allah's command is executed, which is resurrection is established. Again, we are learning from this hadith that till the time of Qiyamah, inshallah, as a result of this hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there will always be a group of people from among the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, steadfast with iman, that will always be there to preserve and protect Masjid al-Aqsa until the time that Isa alayhi salatu was salam will descend, which will eventually lead towards Qiyamah and resurrection. We will talk about some details later. Observe again, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam went from Al-Aqsa to Makkatul Mukarramah, and he brought holiness to Makkatul Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled from Makkah to Al-Aqsa, and he brought holiness and spirituality to Al-Aqsa. From Al-Aqsa, he ascended into the heavens, where he was as close as possible to Allah Ta'ala, where there was no one between him and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala spoke to him. And when he returned from that noble precincts of being in the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, although Allah is all over, but Allah took him right to his throne. And when he returned to earth from the throne of Allah Ta'ala, from the closeness of the throne of Allah Ta'ala, which is the first city that Rasulullah placed his foot in, it was Al-Aqsa. It was again Masjid Al-Aqsa. And then from Masjid Al-Aqsa, Rasulullah returned to Makkatul Mukarramah. This place which Allah had sanctified, we are all going to be resurrected there again on the day of Qiyamah. It is the place of the Mahshar, and how many have made Umrah, how many have longed to pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa. That is the spiritual connection that we all enjoy with Masjid Al-Aqsa. Masjid Al-Aqsa had a very unique place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for many reasons. And it is these reasons that we, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also enjoy this unique commitment and this unique connection with Al-Aqsa. Firstly, Al-Aqsa, Al-Masjid, Al-Aqsa is a place that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared an exception bond with the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, where he led the Anbiya personally, physically in salah. And where Islam was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam subsequently as a religion and a message of Tawheed, which was preached and taught by all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, from Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, and Rasulullah was a descendant of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. That was their birthplace, subhanallah. And then again Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Dawood, Nabi Sulaiman. And also by definition, Al-Aqsa enjoyed a central place in the life and heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In addition to this, up to the second year of Hijrah, Al-Aqsa, subhanallah, was the direction of our prayers. It was the direction of our Qibla. This reinforces the great link and the spiritual link that Rasulullah, and by virtue of being his ummah, that we enjoy with Al-Aqsa al-Sharif.
Well, then we did discuss the hadith recorded by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating to Al-Aqsa.
There are many, many other ahadith relating to Al-Aqsa al-Sharif. And I feel it appropriate, Maulana, for our listeners and our viewers on Ummahat, that we go through some of these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will try and narrate a few ahadith which again will establish this aspect that we are establishing, the unique bond that we enjoy with Al-Aqsa. And inshallah today and with a few other sessions maybe next week, we will discuss some of the ahadith on the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which masjid was built first? And Rasulullah said, the sacred masjid, Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Makkah. I then said, then which one? and Rasulullah said, and then Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the furthest masjid, which is in Al-Quds. And I said, and I asked Rasulullah, says Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what was the period between the two, between the building of Masjid Al-Haram or Baytullah and Masjid Al-Aqsa? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the period between them was 40 years. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wherever the time of prayer comes upon you, then pray, for the earth is a place of prostration for you. This is a special virtue of this ummah, that although these masajids were built by the various anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, we today, subhanallah, pray in Masjid al-Haram, we pray towards Masjid al-Haram, and we are being encouraged to visit Masjid al-Aqsa. But in spite of their virtue, it is also mentioned that the entire earth is a place for us to pray our salah. Another hadith on the authority of Ma'qal ibn Ma'qal al-Asadi, who says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from facing the two qiblas at the time of urinating or excretion. This hadith is recorded in Abu Dawood. What we are establishing here again, that we enjoy and we are commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show our respect and reverence to both Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, Baytullah, and also Baytul Maqdis. Because in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly advises, do not face Masjid al-Haram in Mecca or Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem when urinating or going to the toilet to relieve oneself. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that we prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards Baytul Maqdis for 16 months or 17 months. Then we were made to change our direction towards the Kaaba. Again, in the beginning of the Nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Islam was revealed, when Rasulullah was made a Nabi, when Rasulullah was commanded to perform Salah, he was required to face Masjid al-Aqsa. When Rasulullah was in Mecca, before the migration to Madinatul Munawwara, he would perform his Salah in a way that the Kaaba was in front of him when he prayed towards Al-Aqsa to the north. It is believed that he prayed behind the southern corner of the Kaaba, which is called Rukn al-Yamani, the Yemeni corner. And this is alluded in the following hadith on the authority of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, Rasulullah used to pray while he was in Mecca towards Baytul Maqdis, putting the Kaaba in front of him. He stayed praying towards Baytul Maqdis even after his migration to Madinatul Munawwara for 16 months or 17 months. Then he turned towards the Kaaba. And in our beginning discussions, we mentioned that one of the wisdoms of this was that in spite of him being in Medina, to reassure the Yahud and the Bani Israel that Rasulullah has not come with a new deen, he has come with the same Islam, establishing his link with the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. However, when he migrated to Medina, the north of the Kaaba, he was unable to do this, so Allah changed the Qibla for him, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa was the first Qibla, and it has been further explained on the authority of some of the Sahaba, who say, we prayed with Rasulullah facing towards Baytul Maqdis for 18 months. Then the Qibla was changed to the Kaaba 2 months after Rasulullah entered Medina. When the Messenger of Allah prayed towards Baytul Maqdis, he would often lift his gaze towards the sky, and Allah knew what was in the heart of Rasulullah, and then he longed to face for the Kaaba. And during As-Salah, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam appeared from the sky, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stared at him, watching him as he was descending between the sky and the earth, waiting to see what he would bring. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayah, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْحِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْحَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. We have been seeing you, O Muhammad, turning your face towards the heaven. So we will certainly assign to you a qibla that you would like. Now turn your face in the direction of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. O Muslims, wherever you are, turn your faces in his direction. Even those who have been given the book know well that it is the truth from Allah, and Allah is not unaware of what they do. So the qibla was changed. In the same way, there are many other ahadith. The link between the Kaaba and Masjid al-Aqsa, subhanallah, has always been there. And we, the Ummah of Rasulullah, also enjoy that link. On the authority of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly used to give examples. He used to say, I have the Hawdha Kawthar, and its size is the distance between the Kaaba and Baytul Maqdis. Again, regularly reminding himself of the journey where he traveled, and using Baytul Maqdis and Baytul Haram as an example to continuously remind people. Subhanallah. The last of the Sahaba who lived that prayed towards both the masjids, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who once said, again, he only said this out of honor, out of pride, to show the holiness of Masjid al-Aqsa. He was one of those sahabi who was among the last of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who had passed on beyond 100 years of age. He said on one occasion, no one remains of those who prayed facing both the Qibla. He said that because at the time when he said that, he was the only person that still lived that faced both the Qibla. And he said, no one remains of those who prayed facing both the Qibla. The companion Anas bin Malik served the Messenger of Allah from the age of 10 years in Medina. He is believed to have been the last companion who passed away, or at least the last living companion. The strongest opinion is that he passed away at the age of 103 and was buried with a small stick which belonged to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also recorded that Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, when he went to Masjid al-Aqsa, and we'll conclude with this hadith, when Umar ibn al-Khattab went to Masjid al-Aqsa, after conquering Masjid al-Aqsa, he asked the people, where do you think I should pray? And they said, if you listen to me, you will pray behind the rock, and all of Al-Quds, Jerusalem, will be in front of you. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, you are suggesting something similar to Judaism. Rather, I shall pray where the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prayed. When we visit Masjid al-Aqsa, we should also reflect that Allah ta'ala is granting us an opportunity to travel and pray in the same place where Rasulullah prayed. So Umar said, rather, I shall pray where the Messenger of Allah prayed. Then he went forward to the Qibla and prayed. Then he came and spread his upper garment. And subhanallah, the humility of Umar. He swept that place. He cleaned that place with his own hands, collecting all the garbage in his upper garment, and then the people joined him. The rock mentioned here is referred to as the noble rock, As-Sakhra al-Musharrafa, which was most likely the original point of the Qibla. It is approximately 18 meters long and 8 meters wide. And the masjid of the Dome of the Rock was built over it by the Umayyad Khalif Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. It is believed to be the exact location from where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended into the heavens on the night journey, on the journey of Laylatul Mi'raj. This brings us to the end. And it is also recorded by some ahadith, subhanallah, and it is believed that our deeds and souls also ascend from here. And according to some ulama, the angel Israfil will also blow his trumpet to commence the day of Qiyamah from this rock. May Allah Ta'ala grant us also the opportunity, as the Khalif Umar ibn al-Khattab selected this site near the southern wall of the blessed Masjid al-Aqsa to pray. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the opportunity of commemorating and showing respect to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That brings the end of today's program with Mazir Ahmed Raghi, The Tears of Al-Aqsa. Inshallah, we'll be back again next week, Wednesday. From myself, Muhammad Baum, Mazir Ahmed Raghi, my name is Dokrat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.